It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Thursday, sorry, my computer was going crazy. Every Thursday at 4, Mike Lombardi joins us. Mike, we are honored. Thanks for joining us today.
I always love to talk to you guys.
What's
good
up,
to be
Mike?
Here. Mm-hmm. Hello, Ike.
Yes, sir.
So, Mike, I want to paint a picture for you.
Okay. Let's
pretend you are still an executive in the NFL, you're general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, and you just won a football game, and you see your head coach yelling at fans, and then has the press conference that Nick had on Sunday. What is your reaction to that if you were in the building?
I think I would have not let them leave the stadium and called them up to my office and said, at what point are you going to grow up? Mm. You know, you have a job that's harder to get than the United States Senator. You're one of 32 people on the planet. Your job is to show the other players how to act, behave, and think. You are representing the franchise. You stand on the sidelines that some of the greatest coaches in the history of this sport have ever stood on, and you disrespect them the way you disrespect them. At what point are you going to grow up? I get it, your first year you were a young coach, but this is year three. This is Philadelphia. You piss off the fans, you won't be in this job very long. You will not be here. I don't care how much you win. You're not going to be here. They're not going to like you. And so when you do that, you're losing the battle. And what point do you show them you've grown up? Why are you going to stop being a hothead? When are you going to stop acting like you're a 16-year-old who just got back from hanging out with his buddies at the beach? That's what I would have told him.
So let me ask you this from a player perspective. The players have largely, or everyone that's been asked, seem to like Nick and enjoy his, I guess, fiery nature. How much stock or how much meaning do you put into that sort of response from players about him?
I think to me it's about, well, the players are 4-10 over the last 14 games.
Right.
That's what I put stock in.
Yep.
What are you doing? I don't put stock in what they say. I mean, every time the player loves the coach, you're not winning. It's what Bill Walsh used to say all the time. When the assistant coaches are happy, we're probably not playing very good, you know, because nobody's pushing or demanding from the players. It's the same thing. I mean, look, we want a really good locker room, but we want a locker room that works. We want a locker room that wins, you know. And so every time the players say he's a player coach, that's meaningless to me. It's like, what does that mean? You know, so look, I think to me, part of the job of being a head coach in the NFL is to make good decisions, is to have your wits about you, is to show maturity. And Nick just refuses to want to do that. And he puts on a fight with people that he just can't win. You just can't win that fight. You know, I'm not saying you have to cater to the player, to fans, but you have to understand your audience. You got to know what you're dealing with here in Philadelphia. And anything short of a Super Bowl, everybody's going to want to get him fired. And he's made some horrendous decisions that maybe are part of his decisions, but maybe they're part of the analytical community that he stands by that has alienated the fan base. And I think he's going to have to do a better job of explaining why he does things during the course of a game.
I wonder if that's – you find that to be probably one of his bigger issues is how he does communicate. Now, the thing is, not just to the media or to the fans, but even I'm wondering – with the players, they say they like him or what have you, but then the slow starts and a lot of it being execution, that comes from coaching. Would you agree
sure
with that?
Does.
Yeah, that comes
sure
from coaching.
And then when he sits there and says, well, you know, we haven't scored a point, that doesn't matter. We haven't scored a point in the first quarter. Yes, it does. You've only scored over 21 points once since the opening game. I mean, there's something wrong with your offense here. In 4 weeks, you played against the Cleveland Browns. Now, I know you could have scored at the end of the game, but at the end of the day, you're having a hard time putting points on the board. So, like, and don't tell me the first quarter not scoring points. You hired a guy that's universally, everybody in the media thinks he's the greatest offensive coach since Sid Gilman. So, I mean, you haven't scored a point in the first. I mean, most teams score. The Green Bay Packers have scored 90 points in the first half. The Eagles have scored 41.
That's a big difference, Mike.
Yeah. And Green Bay played a backup quarterback for two of those games.
Right.
That's right. That's right. So, like, don't like, look, to me, the answer when they say, well, what's going on with the first quarter? I mean, you got to say, look, you got to we got to get into it. Look, here's a guy that he scored 204 points in the second quarter 2 years ago. They played from in front 2 years ago. They won those games because they dominated the second quarter. Nobody could stay even with them. In the second half, the people stayed even with them, but they couldn't handle it because they were running that six-back offense. Nobody was used to it, and they were really good. But now the six-back offense, people understand how to defend it. Their offense isn't nearly as good as it was then, even though they keep thinking it's going to get better and turn around. They turn the ball over. I mean, now they can't really rush the passer at any level that they did that year. That year they had 60 sacks from their defensive line alone. They had 70 on the season. They had 60 from their D-line. This year they have 11 sacks in five games. So, you know, you're not getting there. So your team's not playing complementary football to one another that you need to do. And I think that's got to be an issue. So you can't just dismiss it and say, well, we just, you know, that's just the first quarter. No, it's not. It's part of the game. It's part of how you went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You play from in front. Your whole concept of your organization is built on one principle and one principle only. We're going to score early, and then we're going to rush the passer, and we're going to create the lead. We're going to sack the quarterback, and we're going to turn the ball over with our defensive line. That hasn't happened.
Mike Lombardi with us, as he is every Thursday at 4. Do you think the Eagles can be a high-scoring, dominant offense moving forward with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback?
You know, I think there's some concerns about that. I have. I think there's no question. I think the Eagles need to go back to what the Eagles are best when they run it and they play action it and they get him to where it's a high-low read on the outside. He's throwing it up the field. I mean, look, they've got enough talent to do it. But there's, if you get him into too many of these third downs and too many of those situations, it becomes problematic, and I think that's the issue. And look, they've got to be able to run the football effectively. I think when they were really good, Miles Sanders had 1,200 yards. Now, Miles Sanders has been in oblivion, you know, since he went down to Carolina. We don't know where the hell he is. But they were really good when he did that, and I think ultimately that's what they got to get back to. You know, they're good when they look. A.J. Brown is averaging 21 yards a catch. I mean, he's only had 11 catches, but it's big plays and it's run and control. It's not what they want to do in Philly because they want to throw the ball, but I think the more they throw it, the less effective they become, and I think that's part of the issue they need to handle. They turned the ball over. Hurts has turned it over too much during this 14-game stretch.
You know, we had, speaking of the running game, we had Kurt Warner on earlier, and he talked about one of the ways to get the running game to be more effective if you're going to be primarily a run team is to have Hurts under center, in that it gives Saquon Barkley a better chance to run downhill, gives you a better chance of play action, that sort of stuff. But the Eagles don't seem to want to do that, and it would seem that that is not something that Jalen is comfortable doing.
No, because he's never really done it before, and I agree with Kurt. Kurt's completely right about that. You know, you want to be able to do that. You want to be able to handle those situations, and you want them under center for a hard play action. What does play action do? You know, it's a cliche. Well, play action separates the defense. I played linebacker. You know, when there's a good run team and you fake the handoff to that back, you got to step up.
Yes, sir.
When you step up, you're not in the passing lanes. You separate yourself from that. It helps. It makes easier throws for the quarterback. I think that's what he needs to do, and you need to kind of work your way through it and kind of see how that goes. But I think there are definitely a lot of these teams, Spike, would be much better if they were under center. I mean, it's a joke. Everybody just does what everybody else does. You have to zig when everybody else zags in this league. And the good teams, these run teams, these teams like the Eagles, for example, they're a horrible team when they play. If they play against a two-back team that could run the ball, their run fits are just really not very good. So if they play San Francisco, if they play Detroit, teams like that that can run the ball and have two-back runs, they're not really conducive to handle those. That becomes a real issue for your team. So you have to be able to do multiple things. And I think, look, when you get to it and you see the fourth quarter, you know, you've got to be able to throw the ball effectively in the fourth quarter when you're behind in a game. And I don't think Philly can do that all the time.
What's your thoughts on a team getting better, right? We obviously know the Eagles aren't playing great right now, and certainly don't appear that they're playing to their potential. But what 12 games left to go? 12 games left to go. Do you believe that they can be a better version than what they are right now, or is this just who they are?
No, I think you got to get better. I think you got to practice. I think that's what separate. I thought that was the number one thing this weekend. What you saw from teams that keep practicing, the Harbaughs. Baltimore keeps getting better. The Chargers are getting better. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid's teams get better because they practice. They really go after. I was excited to see the Eagles practice yesterday in pads. Like, it's not a walkthrough. You got to practice football. You can't worry about injuries. You've got to work on fundamentals and techniques, and you've got to improve, and your young players have to get better. That's part of what the long season makes you do. You just can't sit there and say, well, we're just going to wait until the end of the year, and we're all going to be healthy, and we'll be ready to go. That doesn't work. It never works. But to me, that's what you have to do. What the team is in October cannot be what the team is in December. You've got to improve every single week. Now, the rules make it hard. The rules make it really hard because it limits one hard practice a week. You know, you can't only have pads on one day. But if you're not out there working and rocking, you know, I know everybody's scared of injuries, but you're not getting better. And the teams that get better, I think Washington, one of the reasons they've improved is because every week they've gotten better. You can see it. Quinn's working the team. And their conditioning is improving. One of the things that hurt the Eagles last year was their conditioning was horrendous. I mean, they get to by the November, they were out. They could two plays and had to come out. They were like a hockey line. They couldn't stay on the on the ice. So their conditioning has to stay good because even though it's not as hot as it was early in the season, it's still a conditioning game. When you're out there in 2 minutes and you're trying to rush the passer and you're not in shape, you're not going to be very effective.
So, Mike, the final question I'll ask you is take it back to where we started beginning. You are in charge of football operations for the Philadelphia Eagles, and you see the personnel you have and the coaches you have, so on and so forth. What would your confidence level be in this team with the personnel you have becoming a, you know, a top three or four team in the NFC?
I'd be really worried about my secondary being able to cover people. I really would. I don't think we have really good coverage people. I think we're young back there. I think it's going to be a challenge to really win on the outside and man-to-man. I'd be very concerned about that, and I would be concerned about that part of my defense and my lack of pass rush. You know, they put a lot of money in that defensive line, and you know Bryce Huff has done that. What, he has a half a sack, got two quarterback hits, that's all he has. I'd be worried about where am I going to get pressure from and how am I going to help my secondary, because the Eagles' concepts on defense have always been we're going to be less in the secondary, but we're going to be really good up front to take away from that. And if we're going to beat Detroit, if we're going to beat Green Bay again, if we're going to beat Minnesota, if we're going to beat San Francisco, we're going to have to play really good in the back end. And then offensively, I would just be really worried about, are we going to come up with an identity or are we going to keep trying to force things on because we want to throw the ball all the time?
All right, Mike. Well, I'm hoping we beat the Giants on Sunday, man. I do not want to feel what this city is going to feel like if after this week.
Look,
if we get a loss.
Out, it's interesting. The betting line just, you know, this line went down to 3.5. It opened at 5.5. People are betting. Now, the Giants don't have Andrew Thomas at left tackle.
Yep.
So their two tackles, they're not very good at tackle. And it takes them 16 plays to kick a field goal. They have no explosiveness, even when they have Malik Nabers. So if they can't win this game, I mean, this is two games they should win. Now, they got to go to Cincinnati. That's going to challenge their secondary. That's going to be a problem. But Cincinnati's problem is in the front. But I think this is a game they should win. If they don't win, there's going to be panic.
There's already panic, buddy. Yeah. All right, Mike. We appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Mike Lombardi. The Twitter question is sponsored by Marsh Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Marks. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Is Sunday versus the Giants a must-win for the Eagles? 86% say yes.
I think I'll change my mind by the time.
Yeah, that must-win?
Yeah. By the time we get to tomorrow. Yeah.
Imagine this city if they lose on Sunday.
Oh, geez, Louise, man. It's going to be.
They're going on a run.
I like that you feel that way, though. I'm with you.
But my gut's saying.
You gonna, can we discuss that? You know, let's talk about Raji, then we'll discuss it next. Raji in Philly, you're on WFP. What's up, Raji?
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Much
Sounds
better.
Good, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, it's got to get some fresh air. But, yo, just love the conversation, Spike. If the Giants beat us, do you think you're a curse on our city with the New York transition? You know, the Knicks are going to be better than the Sixers.
No, they're not.
The baseball teams are surpassing the Phillies, and the Giants beat us, man. I think we got to move you back, man. Maybe do a little hybrid thing. You got to, like, work from New York and just...
Yeah, well, yeah, you may have to work from remote.
I don't want to work remote. I like coming to the office. The COVID, I still came to the office. Christ's sake. You want me sitting at home all day?
I'm just saying.
No.
I appreciate you on the radio, though, man. I love how you guys work. I was asking more Giants technically. Like, do you think because of the Hard Knocks... fiasco with the Giants, they're going to prevent Saquon from balling out against us, so we need to rely on Jalen Hurts this week?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it's going to be, Raji. Now, we'll see if they're effective in trying to bottle up Saquon, but if I'm a Giants defender, I'm on that team, there's no way I'm allowing Saquon Barkley to come in here and run up and down the field on us.
Yeah, I agree, Ike. I mean, I think that we got to counter with our offense with that. And I know Mailata's out. I know Thomas is out for them, so Mailata's out for us. So the tackles, you know, I don't know what that's going to do with our offensive line. But, man, yeah, I'm just worried, man. Like, Spike, you got me thinking about, like, all three of our teams are declining. Our stars are getting older, and you guys are bringing up the Flyers now, so I'm just getting worried. That,
Meechkoff's only 19.
Meech!
Yeah.
Yeah, man, if the Flyers win the championship out of all the four teams, man, I'm just, you know, I don't know what the future holds for our other three sports. But
Well, Raji, I don't want to completely say that your theory about me is off. However, it is letting the general managers and players on these teams off the hook quite, you know, like you're just blaming me. Maybe you should blame Howie and blame Dombrowski. I didn't sign Trey Turner. I didn't sign Taiwan Walker. You know, here's the other thing. Taiwan Walker also came from New York.
That's true.
And got down
That's
here. True. Maybe he's That's the true. Problem.
He's part of the problem for sure.
I'd be a better fifth starter than Taiwan Walker would. All right, Raji.
I mean, yo, you're right. Yo, I have I think that's a good point. Wheeler. We got Wheeler, but we got Taiwan too. But
yes.
I got a 2000 to 2010. I know you guys are not political, so I'm going to stay away from the Crips and Bloods of the political parties. But
thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you Jay-Z because he broke out on Hard Knock Life. My favorite album is Reasonable Doubt, but I think he broke out in the 2000s.
But Hard Knock Life was like 96 or 97. Yeah.
No. The Volume 2, right?
Wasn't that 2000? Volume 2.
Yeah. But that the Hard Knock Life, the first one was definitely 90s.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was definitely because I was in college. I remember playing at clubs and stuff.
Sure.
But Raji,
I still like the answer.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
Yes.
Jay-Z
didn't become the face of rap until the 2000s.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because
it started in the 90s, and then it definitely, he became that in the 2000s.
Yeah, he was whack in the 90s.
Is it because of his album he did with Kanye? That one where there was a...
No, when he did the...
that was a great album.
Him and Justin Timberlake, is that when he...
Well, whatchamacallit blew him up, Hard Knock Life. It's a hard knock.
Yeah, but that's 90s.
No, I'm saying that's what started his blow up to me, which made him mainstream. And then 2000, he took over rap. I mean, he basically took over the rap game.
And then it'll all be over once it comes out that he was at all those parties.
Oh, yeah, and you know that.
Yeah, that's almost over. He better win this today because we never know when the end of Jay-Z is going to be.
His reign is coming to an end.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be forever, Jay-Z. I'm sure he and Beyonce are working overtime to get rid of those lists, man. Those, you know, who was where.
Beyonce's probably a bigger face of the 2000s than Jay-Z, right?
No.
Ooh.
I don't know, man.
What?
No.
Popularity-wise?
Queen Bees?
If we're talking...
Put it this way. I think when they got together, this is just my opinion,
yeah.
I think she raised his profile.
I agree.
I don't think he raised her profile.
I'll have to think about that.
Great.
I'm going to think about it. I'm not going to disagree, but I'm going to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that sarcastic great because you just did it again, but you did it with the Brad Pitt thing.
Well, I mean, before, Jay-Z was just a street rapper rapping about... I'm just saying how he was viewed.
Yes.
Beyonce brought him into a... With women. Like it's like Taylor Swift.
That's a big answer.
It's a whole new fan base.
Well, yeah, but Jay-Z is a bigger deal than friggin' Travis Kelce.
Sure, I thought she was going to say he's a bigger deal than Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I thought we were going to go overboard.
No, I'm just saying, you know, the Travis Kelce's star was raised huge because of Taylor Swift. I mean, he is a...
With women.
With everybody.
Now, if you're a football fan, you knew who the hell Travis Kelce was.
Well, but think of there are people who aren't football fans.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to men, most men are.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yes, but overall icon status, Travis Kelce doesn't get that without Taylor Swift.
Without a doubt.
But Jay-Z had it without Beyonce. That's all I'm saying.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. I think she raised him. I think she raised his profile, man.
She's not going to hear this, you guys. You don't have to.
No, I'm just saying. You know, when he started doing duets with Beyonce,
yeah,
he became... more interesting to everybody in pop culture.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree that it raised.
Rap doesn't have the same reach. Back then, it certainly did.
Back then, it didn't. Today it does.
Yeah,
today it does.
But back then, it didn't reach like Beyonce did.
Coming up next, Jack has a dream.
Yes.
And that dream is that Bill Belichick is the head coach of the Eagles next year.
Now, Jay-Z is worth more.
Yes, he is.
He's definitely worth more than Beyonce. Yes.
So, and that's why he can't ever get divorced, because then Beyonce becomes...
Half of his. Yes.
Yeah. So Jack's dream is that Bill Belichick coaches the Eagles next year. But there could,
fly, Eagles, fly.
There could be a wrench in that dream, and we will explain to you what that wrench is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.